off of just saying this. I want you to know I love you this morning. And I'm thankful to be here. And it's truly an honor. And it's a blessing for Pastor Schaefer to have asked me to come, and I thank him for that. I'm trying out contacts this morning, first time speaking. They have two different things. This eye allows me to see far away. This eye allows me to see up close. They tell me that your brain will adjust.
Mine did.
Yours
I
did?
Have
well, mine's not adjusting too well right now, but it might be my nerves, but that's okay. But hopefully it will adjust, and I'm getting better at putting them in. My left eye today, I can get it in first time. My right eye, I think I poke my eyeball out 100 times trying to get it in there. But it's a lot of fun doing that. I prayed and asked God what He would have me to speak on this morning. And He laid Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 upon my heart. Pastor Nell, our pastor, has been preaching through this passage of Scripture, those 11 verses now, for about 4 weeks. And it's been a blessing. But this morning, I want to share with you, through what Pastor Nell has taught and preached at church, how God has worked upon my heart through it. So I'm not going to reiterate what Pastor Nell had said, which was all outstanding. I can never touch what he did. But I'm just going to teach you how God spoke to my heart within the passage of Scripture. And I hope by doing so, by teaching this, it'll be a blessing to you as well. Look at verses 1 through 11, and I will read them. What time do I need to be done?
Quarter to 10 to 11.
Okay. I may be done shorter than that. It might be almost at that time. It depends on how it all works out. But look at verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." When it says "for it is written," if you want to write off to your notes, Satan is now using Scripture out of context to try to tempt the Lord, and that scripture comes from Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, if you want to write that down. It says, "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God."
Amen.
And the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And verse number 11 really captures my attention. And the reason it captures my attention is because people today, unsaved folks and some saved, toil around with the things of Satan as if he can't harm them. Now I want you to look at verse number 11 here. "Then the devil leaveth him," and then notice what happens, "and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." After this battle was over with, God sent angels to minister unto our Savior. There's much wisdom within that verse, and this has nothing to do with the Sunday school lesson, but it adds to it this morning. Don't you dare think for a moment that you can wrap your arms around Satan and walk with him without coming out damaged.
That's right, amen.
Don't you dare think for a second that Satan can't attack you and you're not going to need the help of the Lord afterwards. Amen? Because he is wicked. He's very smart. Let's pray. Lord, I love you and I thank you for the opportunity to teach this morning. And God, I ask you to help me as I try to minister to folks and give to them what you have placed upon my heart and how you dealt with me through the preaching when Pastor Nell preached the last three Sunday mornings on this passage of Scripture. And Lord, he'll be doing so again today or tonight. I can't remember if it's morning or p.m. But Lord, I thank you for it, and I ask your hand to be upon the lessons this morning. In your name I pray, amen. When I was here last, I introduced myself by telling you that I was in the military before, so you all know that I served in the military. One of the things that I really truly miss about the military is how they train you over and over and over and over again how to accomplish a mission, and also to keep you safe and teach you how to survive under extreme conditions. They teach you through written manuals. They spend millions of dollars upon every troop making sure that they are, if you will, mission ready or combat ready. And it's not just a one-time training, it's a continual training. Every single year you go and you get training, and if they assign you a mission within that next year, they may train you, give you additional training to get you through that mission that's coming up. Well, God's Word is our war manual. God's Word is our training manual. And the Holy Spirit of God was very, very wise. Now, we know this as the temptation of Christ, and it was the temptation of Christ, and I don't want to take that away. But it was also a battle between Satan and God that was taking place within these 11 verses. And the Holy Spirit was very wise when he had the writer pen these verses. God's Word is filled, when we read it, it is filled with strategic plans within it to help Christians to survive Satan when he attacks. It's filled with real stories, with real people over and over again who had to combat Satan and survive. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may desire. The Holy Spirit, one of the things that God pointed out to me, put these verses in the Bible for me to teach me how to stand up against the attacks of Satan when they come my way. And if we read it and look at it that way, it would be very, very wise, because within these 11 verses, we see Satan's battle plan, we see his tactics, we see his methods, we see exactly how he works and how he will approach you and how he will approach me. In fact, during this battle between Satan and Jesus, we see Jesus continually fighting Satan off with the war manual, Scripture. In verses number 4, 7, and 10, Jesus quotes Scripture. He takes out that spiritual rifle, if you will, and he fires away Bible verses at Satan to guard him off. And then in verse number 6, and this is very important as well, because, well, we'll get into it here in a moment, but Satan takes Scripture, Psalm 95, and he twists it, takes it out of context, trying to tempt Jesus to follow him instead of following the Word of God. Beware, because you may have friends that will twist Scripture and try to get you to walk away from God as well. And then we see Satan attacking Jesus at his weakest moment. Look at verse number 1 and verse number 2. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered." Number one, within your notes, if you're taking notes, I pray that you are, but take notes this morning. You notice in verse number 1 there that God led Jesus into the battle. Look at what it says. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness." God led Jesus into this battle. And you say, "Preacher, why do you say that?" I start to say pastor, but I'm not your pastor. But you say, "Preacher, why do you say that?" Well, Christian, I want you to know, when you're being led into that battle, you're never alone. God is with you. Amen. Amen. You're going to feel as if you are alone when Satan's all around you and he's attacking you. But our job as a child of God is when we are being led into that battle, realize that God is walking with us. He's leading us there. Therefore, we need to try our best to draw close to God while we are in that battle. Look at verse number 1 again. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." When I read that, when Pastor Nell was preaching through it, my military mind passed, went this way: Al Price, you need to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. And I think that should be said about all of us here this morning, that we should desire to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And if I'm going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, I need to do two things. I need to understand God's Word. I need to apply God's Word to my heart and to my mind, my memory, and my walk. But I also need to understand my enemy. And if I'm going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and if you're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you've got to understand this morning. You're going to be led into battle, and you're going to be forced to face the enemy. Amen. I don't like being in battle. It's not fun. I've been there. And I don't like facing the enemy. It's definitely not fun because I've been there. But yet on a spiritual side of the fence as well, I don't like spiritual battles. And I don't like to face Satan at all in any way, shape, or form, because he sort of beats up on you, doesn't he? Look at verse number 2. It says, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered." Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, but also we need to know our enemy. I think this is why God placed chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 within our Bible. God wants us to know how Satan works and his tactics, and how he's going to come about and sneak in at your weakest moment and attack you. Satan will always come in the back door. Jesus had he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He's hungry. The most that I have ever went without food is 7 days. And I'm telling you, coming along about the second day, your belly starts eating on your backbone. About the third day, you start getting a little dizzy. And then the fourth day, it locks up on you and you can't really tell that you are hungry, and you start getting very, very weak. And Jesus had done this for 40 days. He is at his weakest point physically as a man, not God. Okay, because Jesus is God and he is man. But as a man, he is at his weakest point physically, and he's at his weakest point mentally. Because when you're not getting food and water, and there's no nourishment there, you do get weak physically and you do get weak mentally. Are you with me this morning? Okay, I don't know if you all have ever fasted, but it's tough. Amen. Now, Satan now takes the opportunity to sneak in that back door and attack Jesus' flesh, the man side, when he is mentally and physically weak. Look at verse number 3 and 4. Notice what it says. "And when the tempter came," underline those words, "the tempter came to him and said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Number 2 within my notes this morning, Satan is going to attack me. And he is going to attack you as well. And when he attacks, the first thing that Satan does when he attacks, he always comes after your fleshly desires. Things that are temporary. You're weak. He's going to offer you what you want in your flesh, what your flesh is hungry for, because that's the quickest way to get you to step away from God, is to go after the desires of the flesh. When I was in the military, 19 years of it was black world, classified. My dear wife had no clue what I was doing or where I was going. Every single morning when I left, I'd take my ring off and put it on her finger, not knowing if I was going to see her today, tomorrow, 2 weeks, 6 months down the road. If she called the work, they would not know where I was at, because it was special access required, a need-to-know basis. And although you and I may have worked together, I might be going doing something different than you, and you didn't have a need to know, and I didn't have a need to know what you need to know. And when I went to work, they might say, "Get on a jet, you're going someplace." And I wouldn't even know where I was going until I landed. Because of that, they sent me to SEER training. SEER training is a special forces type of training. Not everybody gets to go through that. But what SEER training is, it teaches you how to survey or surveillance on your enemy. It teaches you, if you go down, how to evade and resist capture. And then if you are captured, it teaches you prisoner of war activities, if you will, and how to escape. SEER training is something that I will never, ever forget, because they take you through about 2, maybe 3 weeks of classroom activity to teach you all those things. And then they're going to say, hey, Sarge, we're going to take you out tonight, and we're going to take you off in a helicopter, and we're going to drop you off in the middle of nowhere. And all they leave you with is the clothes upon your back, and they give you a survival knife and a compass. And you're supposed to find your way back. And during that time, somewhere within the first 3 or 4 days, they leave you by yourself. And then they send out the enemy, military our side, to try to capture you. And during that time frame, it's ugly. You get hungry because you don't have anything to eat. You don't have anything to keep you warm. You don't have any water. What you're supposed to do is to spy upon your enemy and live off the land. And if you do get captured, you're trying to resist that capture. And if you do get captured, you're trying to evade and escape if you can. About 2 to 3 days within that process, you're going to get hungry. Now, I have eaten worms. I've eaten bugs. I've eaten some pretty nasty things. Okay, you can't start a fire, because if you start a fire, they're going to smell it. I'm telling you all that to let you know that during that 2 weeks, 3 weeks of training and taking you and dropping you off and leaving you out there for 7 to 10 days to find yourself back to live off the land, it's hard. And they're trained, and they're going to capture you. And when they capture you, the interrogation starts to take place. And I'm going to tell you, it ain't, I know ain't's not a good word, I'm saying that to emphasize, it ain't fun being captured by your enemy. Now, here's Jesus and Satan, and look at verse number, verse number 5, it says, the devil taketh him. Did you see those words? The devil taketh him. All right. Satan has him. Okay. God's word is more important than our flesh. I'm going to tell you, when I was in that wilderness, if you will, in SEER training, actually up in the mountains, I would have given anything for an apple. I would have given anything for a cheeseburger. But all I had was the worms on the ground and other things that I ate to try to put protein within my body. Okay, can you imagine going down to the water, moving it around, and finding a snail, crashing a snail and popping a snail in your mouth and eating it? Those are the kinds of things that I had to do. Jesus, and I only fasted for 3 to 7 days before I started doing that stuff. Jesus had been 40 days without food and water, and Satan comes and says, hey, take that rock right there and make it some bread. Do you know what Jesus does? Look at verse number 4. It says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. When Jesus looks at Satan and tells him this, he's saying there's some things that are more important than food, Satan. And that's God's word. Amen. And when Satan comes and attacks you with the desires of your flesh, you need God's word more than you need what your flesh is telling you you think you need. Are you with me this morning? Because the things that you think you need will only bring temporary satisfaction. You're going to get hungry again. Amen? But God's word is going to be there with you to help you to get through that. God's word's more important than any temporary thing that you can ever think you might want or desire. That's one of the things that God pointed out to me when Pastor Nell was preaching. Look at verse number 5 and 7. It says, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Number three within your notes, you're going to be captured by Satan one of these days. Look at what it says there. It says, the devil taketh him up. God led him into the battle. Am I right? Is that not what the scripture says? Come on, help me this morning. God led him up into the battle, but now Satan takes him. I said it before, and I'll say it again, it ain't fun being captured by your enemy. When you get captured by your enemy, you're all by yourself. You're hungry, you're cold, you're thirsty, you're afraid. And I don't know about you, but in my time there within the SEER training, I didn't even think I was, they made it so real, I didn't know if I was going to live or die. I mean, they rough you up. It's no game what they put you through. Sadly today, many Christians have been captured by Satan and they don't really even realize that they are. They have succumbed to that fleshly temptation and walked away maybe partially, a little bit, maybe a whole lot, maybe altogether away from God, and they're comfortable in it and they don't even know it. And as a result, spiritually, they're all alone. Spiritually, they're hungry and they're cold and they're thirsty. And spiritually, they don't even know for sure if God's even going to hear their prayers or not, because they have chosen that fleshly desire and walked away from God when Satan tempted them. When the enemy takes you and he captures you, I don't know for sure, but I almost think the military, somebody read Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 when they developed SEER training. I almost think they took their manual and said, hey, this is in God's word, and this is how the enemy attacks the individual when they capture him, because when they capture you, they rough you up. When they capture you, they restrict your basic needs. When they capture you, they attack you more mentally and more physically, attempting to get you to bow down and surrender some type of information. They know that you're cold and you're hungry and you're freezing and you're trembling. Therefore, they're going to provide you or offer you the tools to get you to sacrifice yourself or the information that you might have. Satan does the exact same thing. I cannot even begin to tell you how hopeless of a feeling it was in SEER training to be captured, and everybody gets captured. Yeah, I mean, you can't get away from those guys in that training that's built that way. I can't even tell you how hopeless I felt at that time. But yet, when I was in Afghanistan and I got left behind, I had to revert back to that training. I had to revert back to that war manual. And that war manual and the training that I had learned helped me survive without capture. Are you with me this morning? This war manual will help you survive when Satan knocks upon your door. The enemy, when you look at verses number 5 and 6 here, the enemy, what he is doing now is he is attacking our Lord's beliefs. Look at verse number 6. Now, Jesus quoted scripture to him as it is written in verse number 4. And Satan realized, well, I can't get God by trying to get him to make some bread out of that rock. So I'm gonna get God by quoting scripture to him. So now in verse number 6, what Satan does is he takes scripture out of Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12, and he twists it around out of context, knowing that Jesus is at his weakest moment in the flesh, mentally and physically, thinking he might be able to trick him to follow him and not God. Look at verse number 6. And he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. I'm going to say this emphatically, and I'm not being mean when I say this. I'm saying this emphatically, and I'm saying this lovingly. I'm saying this to encourage you and to help you. Never ever, and I say never, ever, befriend somebody who's going to take scripture and twist it and bend it to get you interested in the things of the world over God. Be careful about your own mind when you are tired physically and mentally, because your mind will take you to Scripture and cause you even to twist and bend Scripture, telling you it's okay to walk in the flesh when it is not. Never, ever listen to anyone, to include yourself, when you're going to try to take Scripture and bend it to fit your fleshly need. A person who is lost or a person who is saved who does that is an enemy of God and a friend of Satan. I'm saying that in kindness and I'm saying that in love. I know within my own life, when trials have come and I'm searching God's Word, that sometimes the Spirit will lead me one way and the flesh will see a verse and say, "Al, maybe it's good to go this way." We need to know the war manual enough to where we can follow God and not our flesh. Amen. Am I right this morning? Help me out. Look at verse number 7. Now notice what Jesus does. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Satan takes Scripture and twists it and fires it at Jesus. Jesus, who is mentally tired and weak, is strong enough in the Lord as a man, knowing God's Word, that he takes Scripture the right way and fires back at Satan. The best way that you and I can combat Satan is to know our war manual and quote Scripture back to him. A good soldier will know their mission. A good soldier will know the war manual. A good soldier will practice what is in the good book. It will help them survive. Did Al Price, when he was on that mountain by himself, with people chasing him down, have the war manual with him that day and those 72 hours, something like that? No, I didn't. But I leaned upon my training and I held upon it above everything, and I trusted my God. And the training and my God got me home safely. When Satan is attacking you, your training and your God will get you home safely. I wrote this down on the bottom of my notes. You can write it down if you want. It's one thing to know the Bible, but it's another thing to know the Bible. I mean, for example, I can ask you a biblical question this morning in your mind. You can say, "Well, it's right there." But can you show me in the book? You see what I'm saying? It's one thing to know the Bible, but it's another thing to know the Bible. Paul told Timothy this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Are you saved this morning? If you're saved this morning, then God has chosen you to be a soldier.
Amen.
A soldier for Jesus Christ. Amen? How many have ever been in the military? Just raise your hands. No. There's two, three. Three of us, four of them, I count myself. Do y'all remember the first day of basic training? Oh, my goodness. We thought we had our act together when we walked in there, didn't we? That drill instructor let us know real quick that we didn't have our act together. They took us. They took our civilian life and erased it. Am I right? They totally erased our civilian life, shaved our head. Man, I used to have a mole right here. And in fact, when I sat down in the chair, I was probably the 30th in line, and people had already had all the hair cut off. And I sat up in the chair, and I'd already watched that guy with that razor shave all those guys' heads off, their hair off. And the guy asked me, he said, "How would you like your haircuts today?" And my first thought was, "Are you kidding me?" And I said, "Well, sir, to be honest, I said, I have a mole right here in the back of my head. When you cut my hair off, please be careful because it's right there." He said, "Okay." What did he do? He put the thing, blood. For about 2 days, I bled. They take you and they erase everything who you are. And then for the next 6 to 8 weeks, they make you a good soldier. And once you're in the military, your mind is always a military mind. It never leaves for whatever reason. It's there because you're no longer the same as what you were. Before you accepted Jesus Christ, you walked in the ways of the world. Am I right? The Holy Spirit of God touched your life, touched your heart. You got down up on your hands and knees or sat in your chair or however it was, and you prayed, you confessed your sins, and you asked Jesus Christ to save your soul. When Jesus Christ saved your soul, He washed all of that civilian life away, and now He's made you a soldier. Amen. And when you first get saved, just like my first day in basic training, I didn't know what in the world I had got myself into. When I first got saved, all I knew is the burden was lifted. And I didn't know what I got myself into. And now, studying the Scripture, I'm so thankful that I have God's Word. Amen. I got about 5 minutes here, so let's try to get through this. Look at verse number 8 and 10. It says, "And the devil taketh him," now he's already led him, now he's taking him, "up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written." Again, he's firing back Scripture. "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve." First, you see Satan attacking Jesus' flesh, trying to give him what he wants, what he's desiring. Then you see Satan twisting Scripture. And now you see Satan offering Jesus the world. Within these verses, you see how Satan really works here. Satan will offer you great things to get you to walk away from God. You all have a wonderful church here. Now, stay with me. I got saved in 1986, okay? And I'm still learning today. But one of the things that I've seen by being a church member, a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, an assistant pastor, and a pastor is this, is a lot of Christians follow the money. They think it's God's will for them to follow that money to leave the church and go to another job elsewhere. Have y'all ever seen that? Amen. Money's not always the answer. You can gather all the money in the world and it's not going to bring you happiness. But how is God using you right here, right now? What's His purpose for you here? Amen. Now, if it is God's will for you to move in the guidance of the pastor and his leadership, helping you through that, then I salute you. But 99.9% of the time, the pastor is the last one to know, and the decision's already been made. There's not been prayer between the pastor and the one who is getting ready to leave. The money's been offered. It's a better place for me and my family. I'm up and I'm going. Are y'all with me this morning? You're staring at me like a goat looking at a new gate. You know, help me out here, because it happens every single day within America. We don't want to worship our enemy. And the Bible does say that money is the root of all evil, does it not? Yes. Amen?
No, the love of money.
The love of money, amen, is the root of all evil. Thank you. I'm living right now on a very limited income, and I can really handle some extra money someday. But I'm not going to let that money offer take me away from loving my wife, my church, in the Word of God. I have seen so many people since 1986 follow the money trail only to end up in divorce or something worse. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now Satan has taken Jesus up on this high pinnacle and says, "Look at all this. Fall down and worship me and I'll give you all of this." You're going to be offered things. Maybe something to take care of your flesh. Maybe somebody's going to twist Scripture. Maybe somebody's going to offer you something better. Please, if you're going to defeat Satan, you got to remain focused on the war manual.
Amen.
And the book. Put God first. Be alert. be ready, stick to the war manual, stay within the church, and please, your pastor is not God, but God has placed him here to lead you.
Amen.
Am I right?
Yes.
The Bible does say, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls. Amen. Your pastor is not perfect. But I'm going to tell you, he and I have never met other than texting back and forth, and we've never spoken. But I guarantee you, he has a pastor's heart. And I guarantee you, he prays for you each and every day, sometimes several times a day. He carries your burdens upon his heart and soul. Don't blindside him. Because he is the tool that God has set here to lead you closer to God, to protect you from Satan. Amen. And when you get tempted, whether it be the fleshly desire or somebody's twisted scripture trying to get you away from this church or some other job out there or something's offered you more money to travel on, you need to come to your pastor the first day that that happens. Don't wait till tomorrow or next week. Come to him that moment and say, Pastor, I'm being tempted. And this is what's being offered to me. Can you help me? Because I don't want to trust myself. I want to trust God and I want to trust this book and make sure I'm reading it right. And Pastor, will you help me walk the right path?
Amen.
Amen. He's the shepherd. The shepherd beats off the wolves. Trust him. Amen. Let's pray.